our worship leaders, we've expressed and felt, I think, if you're like me, express what you felt as a large-scale aspiration. Let me do everything for you, Jesus, right? And our brother's exactly right that there's not another a more appropriate response. But there's an additional response that we want to commend to you now in this next half hour, mostly giving you space to work on it. And that is that unless those large-scale aspirations are actually focused in fine-grained acts of obedience, we will not fulfill the large-scale aspirations. Isn't that right? They'll just be the motions of our hearts, but unless our bodies are involved, unless our wills are involved, then they become actually a mockery, and they feel empty and vacuous in the long run. In the short run, we could sail out of here and sail on, Silver Girl. But you know, and I know, that wouldn't be honoring to the Lord. So let me see how many of you ever led a Session 8 in Bible and Life Level 1. So you can go to sleep now and wake up when I stop jabbering, because you know what this is all about. But for the rest of you, there is a biblical principle, and that principle is this: until we are committed to a pathway of obedience that involves us with God's truth, we have not learned that truth. Now, I could show you a lot of places in the Bible that say that, but let's just think of two of them that are on here. Jesus' famous parable about the wise man and the foolish man. If I had more time, I'd do the little children's song shtick with you. You know, the wise man built his house. What was the difference between the wise man and the foolish man in the parable of Jesus? They both heard. That's not the difference between them. It was actually doing. Or James. I actually think the image in James is just as profound. James talks about hearing the word of God and being like a person who looks at their face in a mirror and goes away and forgets what they look like. And then he contrasts that with a person who looks deeply into the law of God and finds in it the reflected glory of God in his life because he does what it says. And then James concludes, and this is a good way to conclude a conference, he will be blessed in what she will be blessed in what she does. So here's a little exercise, a spiritual exercise, on bringing this time to a point, to one major point. And just a couple quick comments on my part about how to sort out what that point is. You may have other procedures, but these thoughts seem relevant to me. First of all, some of us, thanks be to God, have been bowled over by something. In fact, if I shut up now, you could do this whole exercise. You wouldn't need any help at all. You know exactly what it is that the Lord is calling you to do going out of here, and it's extremely consequential that you do it. And so, do it. But perhaps it's murkier than that for most of us, right? I said to the faculty catalyst training, the older I get, the murkier it feels to me. The fewer times I'm actually bowled over by anything. Maybe my skin has been unduly thickened by cynicism and ill will, and so I've heard it before, baby. And of course, it's a deadly spot to be in, isn't it? Deadly spot. That's worse than forgetting what you look like. Well, bowled over. So that's one way. There have been places here when you were listening in either on a personal conversation as you walked around the facility, or you're out on a run yesterday, or you're eating a meal, or you heard a speaker and your heart sang. And you know that. It's the thing, because the melody of God was sort of turned on in your inner being. What a wonderful thing, huh? At other points, for some of us, we said about something that we heard, that's just wrong. Whatever possessed her to say that? Why was he talking like that? That's wrong. And maybe that's the switch that trips the thing that you need to think about. What ought you to do about that? And there are a number of ways to proceed from there. Perhaps you have the response of about something that's interesting, and I need to think about that a lot more. Maybe it's the observation about someone, she did that so well. Or maybe it's just the impulse in a conversation to say, I'm talking to a kindred spirit here. We need to talk further. Or, that's a great idea, and I should do something like that back on campus. Or, I need to buy that book. This is product placement here. Now, two other things to say, and then I'll stop jabbering and get you launched into the exercise. I'm often confident that God's speaking to me about something. I use that speaking there in quotation marks so you know that I almost never hear voices. I'm confident that he's nudging me because of the phenomenon of repetition. The same issue comes up in different contexts. That's a kind of clue. It's like, hey, wake up here, buddy. I also have the intuition frequently that God is speaking to me because I'm avoiding something. And perhaps you need to examine your avoidances. All of these are possibilities, and I don't want to limit the range of possibility, nor do I want you to think of this next 20 minutes or so as a time of making a transaction with the program. It's not a transaction with the program. So the thing that God is saying to you may well have happened well outside the program. But the Lord has brought us to this place together, and we don't believe that's random. We've tried to make the program worth your while, and I hope that's true. But somewhere in this, we believe that in God's wisdom, he has something for you to do as you walk out the door and get on the plane going home. So here's my little five-step. There's a six-step on the back. If we get to five, I'll be happy. Review our time together. Pull out the schedule and remember where you've been. I know it's only been 48 hours, but it's pretty full, and my memory gets weaker and weaker as I grow older and older. Think about informal conversations. Consider the places you've been in conflict. Remember your private times of reading and meditation on Scripture. Consider matters that seem to have had an impact on your immediate colleagues. That is, think about the communities that you're closely a part of and how what you, your experience here has impact on that. So make a list, make a brainstorming list, and then ponder it and seek to cast it in some kind of order of priority. And then hear this question. What is the single most important thing on your list? The single most important thing. You know, the wisdom is that if you go home and try to do five things, you won't do any of them. And it would be better to obey in one very important thing than to think about and hope you'll behave in five that you don't, believe and obey in five that you don't. If you can't identify the one item of greatest importance, consider the most challenging item on your list. The one that's most costly. Because that would be a richer sacrifice to offer to the Lord, wouldn't it? Than if you wiggle off the hook and did the easiest thing. Well, that's the most important step. But think hard then. The third step is think about as specifically and particularly as you can. Consider the question, what is the first thing I have to do in order to begin doing this? And give yourself a deadline. Does that make sense? What launches me? And maybe it is God has given us a few more minutes here. Maybe it's something that you need to do in this venue before we leave that will launch you off into this pathway of obedience. Fourth is identify an encourager here. That's the word. A person who will put courage into your heart so that you'll persist in obeying. Now, that's got to be someone who will hold your feet to the fire too, right? So they've got courage in their heart to say, hey, buddy, have you done it? Are you doing it? Or have you gone in the tank? And finally, write a short prayer petition you could share with others that expresses the heart of what you desire from the Lord. The flip side is a way to turn 5 into a bit more artistically enhanced version using the literary form of a collect from the Book of Common Prayer. I find it helpful to do that because it lights the thing up for me. If you don't, forget number 6. Feel free. Do not feel obliged to turn the page over. Can I just pray very briefly that God will open our eyes and let us see. It's awful to say this to you about ourselves, Lord, but the persons we are most apt to not see accurately are ourselves. And we ask you to shine the light of your glory into our lives so that we can see. Lighten our way, we pray. And in the next moments, as we work on this little exercise, would you help us to look into the face of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and be transformed from one glory to another by your Spirit's work in our hearts. These things we ask you for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have, can we take...